Woo, time to pull up a chair and talk some Dynasty football. I'm your host, J.J. Wenner, and this is the Rider Dynasty Podcast. The Rod Pod is back, and we are in our new home with Gridiron Ratings. Remember, your path to the title starts Gridiron Ratings. Tonight, we tackle the free agency fallout for the NFC, which existing players are looking at a resurgence based on their team's free agent moves. Joining me tonight, as always, is my friend, the social media Sasquatch, Big Daddy Don Detweiler. How are you doing this evening, my friend?
Man, it's great. We're in that lull where the anticipation is starting to build before the draft comes. Everybody's kind of like, okay, the bulk of the free agency's done. The good stuff's coming. What's next? What's next? Well, now we get to unpack and we get to look what's going into the big show coming up in April.
So excited for the draft. So excited. Riders, we are excited, however, right now to introduce our guest, host of the Dynasty Dorks podcast, content director at Gridiron Ratings. You can find him on Twitter at Dynasty Dorks. Dave, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing fantastic. March is like the best as a sports fan. It's the one of the best months of the year. This year has been the absolute craziest offseason that we've ever seen. And that just is going to make the show that much better.
Yeah, absolutely. I am so excited just to see. It's almost like dynasty managers have taken over NFL teams with the amount of trading that's going on. Hopefully it works out. Unlike some teams, maybe they'll just always be rebuilding, but we'll see. But before we dive into free agency, do me a favor, like and subscribe below. Give us a follow on Twitter at Gridiron Rating. Check out our website, gridironratings.com, for all of our latest content. We're just talking before the pod about the rookie guide coming up. Make sure you're checking out the website so you can order it as soon as it is ready. And gentlemen, let's jump right into the main topic. We're going to dive into the impact of free agency on current players. These are the players that haven't been traded, released, or signed in the past few weeks. So people tend to lose focus regarding these players, but not anymore. Tonight, we are going through the NFC, team by team and move by move, to answer the question, cui bono, who benefits? Which players are going to feast based on their team's recent moves? First up, NFC East and division champs, the Dallas Cowboys. This offseason, they have added James Washington. They re-signed Mike Gallup and re-signed Dalton Schultz. Dave, who do you think benefits the most from these moves?
Yeah, Dalton Schultz. He's a big, he benefits a lot from this. You know, when it comes down to it, a lot of times you see these guys produce, they move to another team and it doesn't pan out. He stays in the same system that's got him a top five finish 2 years in a row. And so anyone that had Dalton Schultz that was a little bit worried about it, it solidifies him. And then CeeDee Lamb, it's just CeeDee Lamb season. Amari Cooper out of town. Michael Gallup has had his own share of issues in regards to injuries coming off of one. James Washington could be sneaking in your deeper leagues, but CeeDee Lamb sees a big boost with Amari Cooper leaving.
Don, anybody you're looking at who you can acquire maybe on the cheap?
Oh, dude, you can get James Washington for like free. And it's an interesting thing. You got to remember, he was a second round draft pick of a team who's historically good at drafting wide receivers. The Steelers have a strong track record of doing well in that second, third round area for wide receivers. And he was an absolute monster coming out of Oklahoma State. So it's entirely possible that he shows up here and finally gets the opportunity that he'd never really got in a Steeler offense that was kind of limited by not really going down the field, which was absolutely his specialty. The combat catch, the get down the field. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be like a top five wide receiver or something crazy. Don't get me twisted here, but for free, he might actually benefit you strongly.
Is he a player you think you can get on a throw-in, or are you going to have to dangle like a fifth or a sixth round pick for him, Don?
Well, I think you could definitely get him on a throw-in on another trade, and he's one of those guys that, like, if you're going back with another manager and like, hey, we're close here, can I get this? He could be the this. That would be a good role for him. I wouldn't go more than a fifth. I wouldn't give up a fourth. But yeah, I'd go a fifth for him just on a flyer in a prolific passing offense like Dallas's. Sure.
And once again, we're talking about dynasty leagues, deep dynasty leagues. So these are large rosters. If you're sitting there with 10 spots on your bench, you're not adding James Washington.
Absolutely right? not.
We're talking about your deep 60-man rosters, like, right? Yeah, and, really serious.
And there's a, you know, there is a path to him getting some targets. Cedric Wilson was kind of the third man there. He's out of town. He went to Miami, who's just collecting a bunch of receivers. Then, so you got Noah Brown, you got Simi Fuku, probably messed that up, but they don't have a lot. So they're a team that, you know, it could hurt him if they draft somebody. And, you know, you can't put it past them. It's a lot of receivers in this class. They could add somebody if somebody falls to them. There's a few guys on the board still. You could see someone like a Cole Beasley come back to town. Jarvis Landry, Will Fuller still out there. There's a few guys. You could see someone moved. There's some guys that are on the trade block that can be moved on draft day. But, yeah, if you can get them as a throw-in, get them for a fifth-round pick, and it's worth the upside. Like Michael Gallup had a late injury, a major injury, and he's missed a lot of time before it. So – could be the number two or three some weeks.
Another player who I know I have a little bit too much love for. Zeke last year finished as the RB6, but I think a lot of player fantasy managers are done with Zeke. They disappoint. Everybody thinks Tony Pollard's going to take over. Do you think you can get Zeke for early second or late first, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, with this draft class, it's going to be interesting because there's not a lot of depth at the receivers, the running backs. There is a lot of depth at receivers, but not a lot of depth at running backs. Yeah. So, and especially if one of those guys gets into a bad spot, you could see someone where it may be harder to acquire. You know, they may not give you Zeke because you know, there's not a lot of running backs. But if someone's desperate for running back and you're selling, this could be an opportunity for you because there is not a lot of running backs. So I think this is better market for the Zeke sellers than it is the people that are trying to acquire Zeke because there's not a lot of running backs, you know, in the draft. So a late first, if you're looking for a starting running back, you're not going to find one. So you can get, you know, you might pay up for Zeke.
All right. Well, let's go to the Eagles. Eagles didn't do too much as well. They re-signed Boston Scott, re-signed Greg Ward, and they added Zach Pascal. Looking at that roster, Dave, everybody seems to be priced where they should be. Is there anybody there who you're seeing as a value?
Yeah, you said it perfectly. I mean, at there's no one that's really a value, you know, unless you know you still got some hope for maybe Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders is someone that might be the value there. Dallas Goedert, he's kind of that next tier guy. You got to pay up a little bit to get him in your startups. Devonta Smith, people saw it. They liked it. And they're getting a lot of him. Nobody's getting anything on Jalen Reagor. They're probably going to draft a receiver with, you know, one of those first picks. They were rumored to be after Calvin Ridley. That's not going to happen. So, yeah, I think it would be Miles Sanders, who's someone that, you know, has disappointed a lot of people, and you might be able to get him kind of cheap. I just saw on DTC, he was worth a high 2023 second.
Don, would you be willing to make that move for Sanders?
It all depends what my roster's like, obviously. But, I mean, yeah, I think that's a flyer there because there's really no established competition there. The Eagles have a very good offensive line, and the coaching staff showed themselves to be inclined to run the ball, unlike Doug Peterson's staff did. So I think if you can get some luck out of Miles Sanders and some health, I think he could be really solid in that offense.
Yeah, it's the health, right? He has to be healthy and finish some games in order to make it.
Yeah. I'd also say that I'd be more inclined to give them a 2022 asset and keep my 2023 things because it's shaping like the 2023 class is going to be loaded.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. All right, let's go to the Commanders. I don't know how I feel about saying that. Doesn't roll off the tongue as easy as the football team, but this year they added Andrew Norwell and Carson Wentz, I guess was their big trade. They re-signed Cornelius Lucas, which is not a character from Rudolph.
Aww.
I thought it was, but it is not. JD McKissick and Cam Sims. Who do we like here as possible low-end acquisition, Don?
I like McKissick here. I think that's an interesting get. They showed a real propensity to nickel and dime the offense last year, and he got a pile of catches and targets, and I don't see that going anywhere. I think he can continue that role, and the fact that he did the 180, going to sign elsewhere, and then came back, told you everything you need to know about how much the coaching staff values his input and what they think he can be in that offense. So if you can get your hands on McKissick, I think he's a great stash player and a great useful player in a depth kind of position at the RB.
Dave, anybody else on that roster you're looking at?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of buy low opportunities. There's a lot of stink around Carson Wentz, and he carried it over to the Commanders, and rightfully so with how the season ended. But he was QB 13 last year, and he didn't have to pass the ball half as much as he's going to in Washington. And cover your ears, but Carson Wentz might be a buy low. He's someone that I would prefer as my QB 3 versus my QB 2. But I'm telling you right now, as someone that had Wentz and put him on the block, nobody's willing to trade anything. So that means that you can get him for super cheap. Someone offered me like a 301 and like another third. And I'm like, it's super flex. He's a starting quarterback.
Seriously.
Yeah. QB 13 last year. He's got Terry McLaurin. I think Terry McLaurin to buy low, and Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas, we've seen Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz have a bromance that led to a lot of fantasy production. I think Logan Thomas is a big winner here. And Antonio Gibson, I'm not the biggest Antonio Gibson fan, but I still think he's a great player. He's still young. And there's just, like I said, a lot of stink around that team, and I think you can take advantage of it.
What about in the wide receiver room? North Carolina, Dyami Brown, drafted last year, didn't do a whole lot. Can Carson Wentz help him become relevant?
I don't know. I don't know if it's maybe Curtis Samuel actually does something. Last year, he did not have surgery, and then he ended up, re-injuring himself, and he missed a whole year. He should have had surgery in the beginning. And, so Curtis Samuel was a big signing last year. They gave him decent money.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I think that could be the, another person, and that's another super buy low.
And I know it's a cliche in the industry, but nobody's talking about Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
I had one of our former hosts, Mr. Braun, stopped over today, Mr. Detweiler. And I asked him, he's a Commanders fan. And I asked him about Curtis Samuel, and he was like, yeah, maybe.
Three names ago.
Oh, yeah, it's a long time ago.
I will say, to your Wentz point, this is the most weapons he's had in ever. Realistically, if some health pans out for these guys, this is better than anything he ever had at Philadelphia, and this is better than he had last year.
Yeah. If not now, when? All right, finishing off the division, the Giants. Now, the Giants made a lot of moves. They added Mark Lewinsky, Tyrod Taylor, John Feliciano, Matt Breida, Jameel Douglas, Ricky Seals-Jones, and Richie James. But is there anybody on this team who you think you can get on the cheap who might perform? Dave?
Yeah, this is another team where, everyone's a buy-low candidate, but are they going to be able to produce? Kenny Golladay was, a massive failure last year. Kadarius Toney flashed, and Saquon struggled. So, a totally different offense coming over with Brian Daboll. The defense is on the rebuild, even though the defense has been kind of the only strength of the team. It's going to be tough sledding out there. I don't know if there's anyone that I expect to be a major fantasy performer, but I do think because of the injury issues with Kadarius Toney, Sterling Shepard's coming off of an Achilles. You can get all those guys low. And Kenny Golladay, the same thing. I mean, he's like wide receiver 50, wide receiver 55. All these guys, they're pretty low. Other than Saquon, everybody else is buy low.
And Saquon might be dropping. I mean, people are pretty much you know, not believing in him as a bell cow. A lot of people thought he would bounce back last year, and they didn't really see it. They saw Devontae Booker putting up about the same numbers with the same number of touches. So we'll see what happens this year. Let's move to the NFC North. The Packers didn't really do much. Re-signed Aaron Rodgers, Robert Tonyan, and Alan Lazard. They traded Devontae Adams. Is there any player, Don, that you're interested in on the Packers?
Yeah, I like Lazard. I'd like to have him as a useful player here. He's one of the only receivers that has any real rapport with Rodgers coming back. I mean, it's him and Cobb and what? Tonyan? Tonyan coming back off a significant injury. So to have a wide receiver with a little bit of size and a rapport and a track record of being serviceable for a dude you can probably get for free or as a chuck-in, yeah, man, I'm interested in Lazard.
Anybody you're looking at, Dave?
Yeah, Aaron Jones. There was a really strong correlation between Aaron Jones having high production when Devontae Adams was out. He's going to be out. So Aaron Jones should have a lot of production. You see him and A.J. Dillon, even if they split, you're going to see Aaron Jones get the pass-catching work, which is worth three times as much as you know, the running work. And then Tonyan, I mean, Devontae Adams was a touchdown machine, red zone hog. Tonyan's going to get a ton of that. And even if they bring in a rookie, I forget the exact number, but there hasn't been a rookie receiver, including guys like Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams himself, that have eclipsed over 600 yards with Aaron Rodgers. He does not throw the ball a lot to rookies. Mm-hmm. So that's good news for Aaron Jones, good news for Alan Lazard, good news for Robert Tonyan.
Anything with Amari Rodgers? Are we out on him? Didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants their version of Debo, and they were hoping he would be that guy, but they didn't look like he was there last year.
Yeah. But again, you won't do anything with rookies. Now he's a second-year player. There might be a little bit more rapport.
That's a good point.
It's still waiting to hear.
Wait and see. All right, let's go up to Minnesota. They came in second. They added Johnny Munt, not Ronnie Munt. That's the limo driver from the Howard Stern Show. But Johnny Munt, tight end. Sean Mannion, re-signed. And Austin Schlottman, guard. Nothing too exciting there. Everybody kind of returns from normal. Biggest addition to me would be Irv Smith.
Yep.
I mean, missed last year. He was supposed to break out 2 years ago. Didn't. Last year he was injured, torn meniscus. I would be willing to float maybe like a late third, right? Maybe. Anybody, Dave, you're looking at?
Yeah, you said it. I just picked up Irv Smith for a mid-third last week.
Tight end premium?
No tight end premium. Oh. Just it was like a 307, 308. Just okay. Give me Irv Smith. It was a contract league, and he's on a very cheap three-year deal. And I was like, well, let me just put him behind Schultz and go at it. And then Alexander Mattison. Alexander Mattison is someone that, you know, he's a free agent next year. He's younger than Najee Harris. I think he's 23 years old. It feels like he's been in the league a lot longer. Mm-hmm. And Dalvin Cook, you know, he's missed at least four or five games every year. So unless they add somebody in the draft, Alexander Mattison is someone I'm targeting. And I think, you know, he's someone you want to get now before he hits the market, because he could, you know, be like a Michael Turner, hits the market and gets big money somewhere, or, you know, running back money, and gets starting gigs somewhere next year.
Yeah, when he's been given the chance, he's definitely performed. They're going to start throttling back and giving him more and more touches to try and preserve the feature there. So it's an interesting set, and they have done nothing. I mean, it's like, did anybody even tell them the offseason started? Because it is so status quo. It's unbelievable. They may very well draft somebody, but they're kind of set. It's just kind of a blah team and a blah offense in a blah city.
And just another point on that, Kevin O'Connell comes over. So he does bring over, you know, a different scheme. So if they do run more three receiver sets, that could be some KJ Osborne action. But I just, you know, Tyler Conklin, and no, Irv Smith is obviously a higher, you know, he's a higher caliber draft pick. He's a better athlete. You know, if he's used the way Tyler Conklin was used last year and gets the targets he did, I just don't see a way where he's not a top 12 tight end.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kenny Nwangu, I know he flashed a little bit last year. If Madison leaves after this year as a free agent, you know, Kenny Nwangu was a little bit interesting watching him and his long speed, man. He is fast. And I'm a sucker for that. I might be a blood relative of the Davises. Oof. No, that's not true. That's not true. I have all my proper genes. Next up, the Bears. Now, the Bears went through some changes. They added Lucas Patrick, Byron Pringle, Trevor Siemian, Kari Blasingame, the wrong St. Brown, and Darrington Evans. I'm looking at Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet last year had 60 receptions for 600 yards with zero TDs. Now, I think much like Jacoby Myers we talked about last week, there's going to be a touchdown regression, right? That is a fluke to get 60 receptions as a tight end without one touchdown. So I think even if he adds three touchdowns to that total, that's going to easily make him a tight end, like a top 12 tight end. Right, Dave?
Yeah, and you saw at the end of the year, him and, you know, Fields started to develop a connection. You know, he's someone that, you know, that it takes a couple years. Like I was saying this last year with the Kyle Pitts stuff. Like, I know Kyle Pitts is a unicorn and he had a really good season, but people are disappointed because it wasn't what they expected. It takes a couple years, and usually it's year three or four before the tight ends pop. And there was a whole lot going on in that offense, a whole lot of bad going on in that offense last year that held him back. There's a lot of targets to go around with Allen Robinson out of there. They're going to have a whole new coaching staff. And, you know, they were trying to add somebody in free agency. I still think that they add another pass catcher there, whether it's a rookie or, one of these last wave of free agents. But Kmet is definitely someone, and Mooney as well. I think Mooney's a good player.
Yeah, I agree. Don, anybody you're looking at?
You're absolutely right on Mooney. He is a good player. He's the kind of dynamic stretch the field guy. It's cool that they brought in Byron Pringle because he's just going to just run flashes down the field and try and open up some of that so that Mooney should be able to step up, because right now he's going to have to be the wide receiver one. So if you're one of those guys who was lucky and got Mooney early or was insightful and got him, you're going to reap the benefit of this because he's going to be the prime target here. And JJ, to your point on Kmet, I absolutely love him, and he's going to get the red zone targets now because he's the only guy with any kind of size in that receiving core. So he's going to get all the red zone targets that Robinson vacates.
And always keep an eye out. Khalil Herbert did flash last year when given a chance backing up David Montgomery. It's always good to have a running back. Always good to have an extra running back on your roster. Let's finish up the North with the Lions. They added DJ Chark, Josh Reynolds, and Khalif Raymond. Three wide receivers, which makes sense considering all they had was Amon-Ra last year. Who's going to get the targets, right? Somebody has to get some targets. Dave, where do you think they're going to go outside of St. Brown?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be spread out, but if they have Goff behind center, you're still not going to see a lot of deep passes. Yeah. There's a reason that that Goff is there and Stafford went to L.A. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp had very low air yards, and it was, you know, if it's one receiver, maybe it's him. If it's every receiver, it's the quarterback. And it's going to be the same thing. So Hockenson and Amon-Ra St. Brown and DeAndre Swift are still going to be the guys that get the majority of the catches. DJ Chark, I don't like the fit there because he's more of a deep ball guy. Mm-hmm. I hope he does well, but nervous there. I don't think there's anyone else. Quintez Cephas, I'm not very interested in the Lions.
Don, anybody standing out besides who Dave
mentioned? It's absolutely still a passing offense to avoid if you can, outside of Hawk, if you can do it. Maybe Reynolds gets you something as a slot guy. But if you're hanging your hat on a Lions receiver that's not Brown, you're in real trouble.
All right. Well, let's go to the NFC South, where it's a little bit warmer. Tampa Bay, Tommy came back. So they added Russell Gage, re-signed Leonard Fournette, Fred Johnson, Chris Godwin re-signed, Ryan Jensen, and Shaq Mason. Who are we looking to pick up, Don?
So this is all about getting the band back together. And if Fournette is available, you want him. It's his show now. It's him and Vaughn, and that's it. So it's one of those deals where he's going to get all the touches. And the big work they did was rebuilding the interior of that offensive line when Ali Marpet unexpectedly retired, and then Kappa moved on. They were able to get quality replacements to keep the interior of that line good. So Brady's going to have his interior to step up and be able to deliver the ball. And now Fournette is going to be able to just run, because there's no such thing as an 8-man box with Tom Brady in the house.
Dave, you on board with Fournette?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I had someone try to take Fournette from my hands today, and I said, no, sir. I like Fournette a lot this year. He's going to get a lot of touches. They use him a lot in the passing game.
Yes.
So I like Fournette a lot.
Awesome. Any of the wide receivers that we think might step up? Do you think Russell Gage might step into that AB role like that?
Yeah, I think he's interesting. Because of the AB role being vacated, they do run a lot of three receiver sets. And Chris Godwin might not start the year healthy. Right. So, you know, I think Gage is definitely someone that you should look into. And he's fairly cheap. People are not super excited about him. And then, you know, in your super flex, your tight end premium, like Cameron Brate's out there, and Rob Gronkowski's probably coming back, but right now he's the starter. I don't think they've picked anybody else up. And so until they do, I mean, we saw him catch a Lombardi trophy from Tommy. So maybe he can catch a couple, a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be good to see Brate finally get a little bit of breathing room. But there is nobody on that tight end depth chart besides him. Speaking of tight end depth charts, let's move to the Saints. Jameis Winston re-signed Tre'Quan Smith, and I just saw that Taysom Hill is going to be a tight end for them this year. Dave, are you rushing out to pick up Taysom Hill as your starting tight end?
No, absolutely not. Taysom Hill went to the Tim Tebow blocking school. He can't block at all. So he's going to be out there. They're going to use him, you know, as a kind of a wing back situation. And just like he's done in the past, he's going to be hit or miss. You're going to have that week. You're going to go, damn it, I wish I would put him in my flex. And then you're going to have that week. You're going to go, damn it, why did I start him?
Yep.
Because he didn't do anything. So if someone's interested and excited about him, I'm take him.
Anything I can get for Taysom Hill. Career high, 19 receptions in 2019. Career high. Don, anybody you're looking at on the Saints?
It's such an interesting, it's an offense in flux. The offensive line is different. They're bringing back Jameis, and I hope he can pick up where he left off, but now he's on a bad wheel trying to come back from an ACL. So it's one of those questions where exactly how good and how good is the infrastructure around him. Tre'Quan Smith returning is interesting because he had started to take over some of the target share there by the end of the season. The real question, though, is can you get Michael Thomas for cheap? And do you even trust him if you can? It's one of those deals. If you float a second after the season he had last year and all the indecision and misinformation and just craziness, you may be able to pilfer that guy. And if he comes back with any kind of what he was before, it's super value.
Dave, do you think you could get Michael Thomas for a second?
I mean, there's every league's different. Every league's different. I would say no, based on the startups that I've done, whether he's gone high enough, and that was even before Jameis.
Mm-hmm.
So a second might be too cheap, but you're not going to have to pay multiple first round picks. You may not even have to. You may have, you know, a second this year, second next year, or a late first this year, second next year. It's not going to be like it used to be. But people do know that Jameis is someone that he loves. He doesn't mind throwing to second, you know, double and triple coverage. And if Michael Thomas gets 140 balls thrown at him, he's he's going to catch 110 of them. The other team might catch 30. but it's there.
But I would take the 110.
Yeah. So I think Thomas is someone, and I mentioned earlier Troutman. We know Jameis. Talk about Cameron Brate. Jameis loves throwing to the tight ends. And Troutman and him were really set up last year. And then the ACL happened. And then Troutman started to come on. Then he got hurt. So I think Troutman's another one you can go after.
Nice. Let's check out Atlanta. Atlanta added Marcus Mariota after moving Matt Ryan. Cordarrelle Patterson re-signed. Damian Williams, Elijah Wilkinson, Colby Gossett, Cordarrelle Hodge, and Jake Matthews. Now, gentlemen, who fills the void? The gaping void at wide receiver, Dave?
It's most likely going to be a rookie. I could definitely see them going after Garrett Wilson or Draylon Burks. And they might double up and get someone, you know, get a John Mechie in the, you know, the third round. You know, you can see multiple people going out there. Traylon Burks is what I don't know if he's really someone you take at eight. You might want to trade back, and then it justifies that. But the way that Arthur Smith used A.J. Brown, it's a very similar body type, skill set. That's something you could see. But you also have Calvin Ridley, and Garrett Wilson is kind of the closest thing that we have in this draft class to Calvin Ridley. So I think it's going to be a rookie. I don't think it's going to be Auden Tate. But in my really deep leagues, I went and picked up Auden Tate because he's right now the number one. At worst case scenario, he's going to be, what, the three on a very bad, bad team. I'll take it.
Don, who are you looking at?
Man, they're going to be bad. They're going to be so bad. And this seems to be like the place where running backs go to die. But maybe you can get some value out of Damian Williams. Maybe. It's an offense that I kind of want to avoid simply because the signal calling is going to be just crazy. I mean, I don't know. Dave, what do you think? Is this a place where you might see a Willis or a Kenny Pickett end up?
You could. So I listened to Move the Sticks earlier, and they put the over and under of how many quarterbacks are going to be drafted in the first round, and they put it at 2.5. They think there's really only going to be two, and there's going to be kind of a rush for quarterbacks at the end of the first, early second. So Desmond Ridder is someone that they liked, and Daniel Jeremiah said he actually comped him to Marcus Mariota. So someone like that coming over, but then Mariota is kind of the bridge, plays for a year. So I don't think they take one early. I think that they maybe take one early day two, or maybe trade back in and get that fifth year option and take someone at the end of, you know, the one if someone's available.
All right, let's move on to the Panthers now. Holy hell, what is this team doing? Resigned Bradley Bozeman, resigned Brandon Zylstra. Added Austin Corbett, Rashard Higgins, and Deonta Foreman. I don't know what to think about the Panthers at all, Don.
I don't think the Panthers know what to think about the Panthers. They tried to take their big swing and get Watson, and it didn't work out for them. And now they're kind of left with no idea what to do. It seems like they want no part of Jimmy Garoppolo, which is good on them because they probably shouldn't. He's probably about not so much different from Sam Darnold like they have now. This is a team with offensive line problems. This is a team with just general talent around the offense problems. So I think they probably end up drafting a tackle here high. And if that's the case, then CMC will maybe retain some of his value. But boy, I kind of want out of anything Carolina this year.
Dave, where are you at? Anybody you're willing to take a risk on?
So, I think that they could be someone that looks to trade back. They don't have a second or a third round pick, so they need draft capital. Like Don said, they got a lot of pieces. They could definitely use an upgrade on the offensive line, but this is a pretty good offensive line class. So if you get back to 15, back to 19, back to 20, let someone else come up and get one of the quarterbacks. You can get, you know, Trevor Penning or one of these other guys. Bernard Raymond, and then you get a second or a third pick. Robbie Anderson is interesting because Robbie Anderson, he could be on the move. There was rumors that he was in trade talks to the Patriots. That didn't happen. But during the draft, we could see Robbie Anderson move to a new spot. And so maybe you get him because you want him to go somewhere else. And if he stays, you could see, you know, the same as last year. But if he goes somewhere else, like let's say he does, let's say Robbie Anderson goes to the Packers. Let's say Robbie Anderson goes to the Patriots. He could be an interesting player. So I think Robbie Anderson could be, you know, someone you target because of that.
Love to hear that. I'm a big Robbie fan from his time with the Jets. Would love to see him actually fulfill his potential with a great.
It's that Al Davis in you.
See? All right. Last but not least, the NFC West. Defending Super Bowl champs, the LA Rams added Allen Robinson, re-signed Brandon Powell, Brian Allen, and Joseph Noteboom. Is there anyone on this offense, though, we truly trust outside of Stafford and Kupp, Dave?
Trust is definitely a – that was a good word to use because I can't say that I do. But I will say I do think Allen Robinson's a good player, and he could not have gone to a better situation. When you know, and if OBJ comes back, he's still probably not going to be ready to go. With Woods there, I was nervous. With Allen Robinson getting, I think it's going to be a good fit. So I think Allen Robinson, somebody can target. Price is just a question. I'm not willing to pay a fourth round. But if he's in the sixth or seventh round, then sign me up.
Don, anybody there you're looking at?
Man, I absolutely love the Allen Robinson fit. That's phenomenal. You're right. He couldn't have gone to a better place with an offensive team that can definitely use him in a quarterback that is right in his wheelhouse, the intermediate, and loves the deep ball. Man, that's perfect for Robinson. And I really think he's going to feast there, especially with OBJ, even if he does come back, going to be out until at least midseason because of that Super Bowl knee injury. So that's tough. Guys, do you think there's any real role for Van Jefferson left in this offense?
I mean, as of right now, I would say yes. I mean, unless, you know, they don't have OBJ. They only have Allen Robinson and Cooper Kupp. Looking at their depth chart, there's not a lot after that unless you're a big Tutu Atwell fan.
Mm-hmm. And no draft capital.
Yeah, so...
No draft capital. Maybe OBJ. I mean, if Jarvis Landry drops the price tag, maybe OBJ can get him to come over there to LA, but the price tag says that's not going to happen. No draft capital. I think Van Jefferson is someone that you can have with some upside. I just don't know if you can play him every week unless there's an injury to one of the other guys, which you never want to happen. And then once OBJ comes back, he goes even, you know, further down. So he's someone that he's kind of a stash at this point.
All right. Well, let's take a look at the Cardinals. The Cardinals added Will Hernandez, bigger name than he was a talent last year.
Yeah.
Zach Ertz, James Conner, and Max Williams all re-signed. Now, Don, we have been down the James Conner as a bell cow back.
Oh, haven't we?
Right? Mr. Steeler, yourself, has anything changed? Like, should we be trusting this depth chart?
My black and gold heart tells you to wave off. No, you should not. They're going to absolutely add a running back. It's just a question of who. You'll probably see some Rondell Moore in the backfield. It's kind of more of a gadget coming in and out too. That's definitely going to happen, but it's going to be adding another player because they can't just run him out there. We've seen that show before. They can't be that naive about it. He got banged up even as a 1A, 1B situation last year. So if you want to maximize him on an offensive level like they do, they're going to get a running mate for him. However, I still want him. He's going to get all the goal line touches regardless of who they bring in because he's an absolute banger on the goal line and in those short yardage situations. So it's the high value stuff you get from him. I mean, he was consistent and captain consistent last year with basically a touchdown every week. And it's one of those things where we value consistency so greatly. So when you see the running mate come in, probably in the draft at this point, you can take a breath and be happy that you still have him. If that doesn't happen, sell.
Dave, anybody you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah. I think Zach Ertz is someone that you can buy low on. If you're a contending team, he's older player, so you're not going to have to pay a lot. He was really good and consistent in that offense coming over via trade. So he's going to have an offseason with Kyler Murray. And they haven't really added anybody else other than, you know, than keeping some of the guys they got. But, it, you know, I believe AJ Green is not there anymore. But even if AJ Green is, he's not really an issue. But Christian Kirk's out of town. DeAndre Hopkins is there. I mean, Zach Ertz is someone that I think you could get on the cheap. I think James Conner is going to cost you right now because running backs are at a premium.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they'll definitely bring someone in. And there's still a few free agent running backs that could head over there too.
All right, let's move on to the 49ers. The 49ers added the former Steeler, Ray-Ray McCloud, and re-signed Jeff Wilson. Is it definitely Lance time, Dave?
Yeah.
Right, we're going to see Lance.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I do think that they get rid of Jimmy. I think they're just waiting right now. Everyone's kind of filling up the seats. But I do think Jimmy Garoppolo gets moved. They're just kind of waiting. Maybe someone gets hurt or something like that.
Yeah.
And they try to make the move. But it's Trey Lance time.
No question. You put all that capital into him, you have to play him and find out what you got. And the looks you got at him last year were so promising. You had the rushing yardage. He had rookie-level completion percentage, but that's likely to come up with now his gap year, essentially. So you would expect, and as creative as that offense is, that Lance is going to be a weapon. So you at least see him weaned in early and then take over the reins quickly.
And I was very encouraged to hear Kyle Shanahan talk about how often they communicate and that they're always talking ball together. Now, the running back room, though, are we trusting Elijah Mitchell this year, Don?
Given what's around him, I am. I still like that offensive line, even though your Jets poached probably their best single interior offensive lineman. I still think that the commitment is there to run the ball, and Mitchell was dynamic in the opportunities that he got. So he'll step into the Mostert role and then expand to as he had. You're probably looking at an 18 to 20-ish touch a week, including the receiving work and so forth. I think the real question there isn't so much of how much more do you get out of Mitchell as opposed to do you get anything from Sermon?
That's a good question. So when you say Mitchell stepping into the Raheem Mostert role, does that mean he's just going to be injured and never really play?
Okay. I guess I should say the envisioned Mostert role.
I'll take that. Well, what about Trey Sermon? I mean, Trey Sermon does not fit on this offense. I'm not quite sure why they drafted him. Dave, is there a chance like Sermon gets cut and can end up somewhere that's actually going to use him?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a possibility. And I think anyone that invested any high capital on Trey Sermon is praying to God that happens. I was never a huge Trey Sermon guy. You know, I felt like he was kind of just a three game stretch and people fell for the trap. And then Kyle Shanahan, I'll disagree on the Elijah Mitchell just because of Shanahan. Really, when it comes down to it, every single week you see them, they have a prolific runner and a top 15 running back. It's just a different dude. And you cannot have, like, even last year, like I was going through the top 24, running back performers over the last 5 years. They don't have any. And it's like, I feel like every other week you have like a stud from the Niners, but it's like, it's just so many different guys. And Elijah Mitchell has all, he's not a big dude. And he was injury prone in college as well. So injury prone is a bad word to use, but he tends to get hurt and he's not a big dude. And Kyle Shanahan just uses and abuses. I would not be surprised. They add another running back, a bigger guy, whether it's, via free agency or in the draft. And you just see a muddled backfield again where Elijah Mitchell has great weeks, but at the end of the year, you're like, where'd he go?
Yeah, I saw this on Twitter, and I forget who posted it, so I apologize to whoever did. They also mentioned the fact that Elijah Mitchell, being a smaller back, also doesn't get the receiving work, right? And the only way for smaller backs, and they had all the stats, and they did a great job. I'm so sorry, I forget who it was. Just showing that backs his size who don't catch the ball don't really repeat great seasons.
Yeah.
And Debo, Debo is their, like, that is the other guy. And he does get the pass catching work.
Yeah.
So, you know, and when they had McKinnon, that was the envision for him, you know, with, you know, so it's just, yeah, it's hard. The Shanahan offense, I just, the shenanigans.
That's the thing to call it.
That's
what it really is. I mean, realistically too, I mean, how sustainable is it for Debo to continue to get that level of workload that you saw down the stretch and through the postseason?
Yes. Especially for somebody who's had as many injuries as he has.
Especially with a bad foot, which is always scary for wide receivers.
/ running backs.
Yep.
All right, let's finish off. Speaking of being finished off. Well, I didn't mean it like that. Sorry. The Seahawks. Oh, lordy, lordy. That's a team that got ugly really fast. We know what happened. Russell Wilson left. They re-signed Rashad Penny, Kyle Fuller, the center, Will Disley. They added Austin Blythe, Noah Fant, and Drew Locke. So does DK play for the Seahawks this year, Dave?
I think so. Obviously with the price that you're having to pay for receivers, it does make sense to trade away someone like this because it's going to cost a ton of money, but they're likely to have a quarterback on a rookie contract. So it kind of offsets that. So unless they bring over someone that's got a big contract, and even if they brought Baker Mayfield over, it's not a major contract. So you can afford to eat some of that money with DK and keep him there and kind of build around him on that offense. Some guys that they talked about, I mean, I know that everyone kind of wants to put Malik Willis over there. Pete Carroll, Lane Kiffin, Matt Corral. And so you could see someone like that go over. They don't take him at 9. Maybe they do. They really like him. But that's someone where you say, okay, you know what? Somebody wants to trade up and get Malik Willis, or someone wants to trade up and get Sauce Gardner. I'm going to trade back. The Seahawks always trade back. So the Seahawks trade back to 20 or 15. They take Matt Corral there. No one's upset about it. If they take him at 9, people are probably going to excuse me.
Oh, yeah. The pitchforks come out if you take Matt Corral at 9. There's no question about it. And as maybe the third quarterback in this class, depending on who you talk to, it would be ridiculous to take him at 9. That would be an absolute reach. I mean, that would be old school Kuiper losing his mind on draft day.
Yep.
So personally, I hope to see it because I love when he does that. But for anything other than the telecast, no. They're saying all the right things about Drew Locke. They're saying we wanted Drew Locke. He wasn't just a throw-in. It wasn't just to make the dollars. And I don't believe that for half a second. But hey, whatever. If it helps you sleep at night, that's fine. And realistically, even if he's a bridge guy, there's still value in that. If you're playing in a super flex, there's two very competent wide receivers there. They will throw to the backs, some of them. So it's one of those things where you may not have to play him often, but if you have to play him once in a while, if he's a bye week sub for you as your QB3, you could do worse.
Give me Ryan Fitzpatrick and Matt Corral, and let's go.
Let's roll. I'm with you on that. Any love for Penny?
Nah, sell him if you can. This is your window. I mean, one of the things that, you know, as someone that's had Penny and then missed the window, when you see a window, you got to take advantage of it because it's going to slam shut when he gets hurt.
Yes. And if there is anything you can get for Chris Carson, if somebody offers you a used kicking tee, a deflated football, anything.
Yeah, smash accept.
Move Chris Carson. Gentlemen, that's it. That's the whole NFC. It is time for tags where we let the riders know where they can find us and any final thoughts. Thank you to Dave for joining us tonight. You can follow him on Twitter at Dynasty Dorks. Dave, any final thoughts or projects you want to share, plug?
No, just continue to look out for the rookie guide. Make sure you follow these guys. We have a big team, a hardworking team. And, you know, especially your IDP, you know, these guys really got you covered. So make sure you check us out.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Don.
dude, this is the time of year where hope springs eternal. It's now the time where you really got to start looking at the real NFL draft and start looking where the players you loved in college are going to land. And the best place to find that is the beat writers. Follow the individual teams. They're the ones who have the real insight, and they're the people you need to follow. So get with your teams, get with the beat writers for the major newspapers in your area, and follow them on Twitter or wherever else you can get their content, because they're the ones who really have a feel for what's going on.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at JJ Wenner. Thank you to Don and Dave for joining me tonight. Thank you to AJ Ryan and Colt from the Shall We Football podcast for having me on last night. I had a blast, and it wasn't the vent. Tune in tomorrow for the latest Getting Defensive episode with Brandon Gary and yours truly, where we finish off our IDP free agency series. And we will be back next week on Wednesday with our guest, Chris Robin. So from all of us to all of you, be safe, be well, and remember, never say anything to make a meeting longer or cut a happy hour short. Boat drinks, my friends, boat drinks.